1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. Our website, philhenryshow.com, and you can pick up a copy of our CD, whatever we're selling at the time. Our 2000 is going to be coming out soon. Isn't out yet, but we already got the tracks. Did you lay that stuff to DAT? My man. And then that goes over to the duplicator, and then we've got our year 2000 Best of the Phil Henry Show CD coming out. And all of the money goes to benefit my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. They're having a casino night on November 2nd? I think it's in November. And Dwight Yoakam appearing. So it's just a great organization. We're happy to have raised this year about $153,000 from the sale of our CD for my friend's place. An NAACP leader indefinitely suspended for anti-Semitic comments about Al Gore's running mate has resigned to form a new civil rights coalition, and he refuses to apologize for his remarks on Senator Joseph Lieberman, the first Jew named to a major national party ticket. But Lee Alcorn, who resigned Wednesday afternoon from the NAACP after two decades of service, drew nationwide rebuke. Alcorn said Monday that Gore's selection of Lieberman, an Orthodox Jew, as a running mate, was suspicious. He said, basically, if we get a Jew person, then what I'm wondering is, I mean, what is this movement for? Does it have anything to do with the failed peace talks? Alcorn went on to say during an interview on a Dallas radio station, "So I think we need to be very suspicious of any kind of partnerships between the Jews at that kind of level, because we know that their interest primarily has to do with money and these kinds of things," Alcorn said. Well, a firestorm of criticism erupted. Julian Bond, the chairman of the National NAACP, called his remarks hateful. Reverend Jesse Jackson, who I think cracked that Hymietown thing not too long ago, said that it was a bunch of bullcrap, and the guy is just, everybody's leaning on him. We want to bring on Reverend Pastor William Rennick from the Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California, to just sort of give us his read on this thing, as it's been a pretty tough day, I guess, Pastor Rennick, for the NAACP.
Well, I think it's been a tough day for truth, Mr. Henry, because I think that I think you have to understand that when a black man speaks the truth, unlike a white man, I think his rebuke is more forthcoming. I think it's more immediate. I think that
so we're not just going to talk about whether this guy said something anti-Semitic. We're saying he's a black man, so he got fired.
Well, I think what happened to Lee Alcorn is unfortunate, but it indicates another black man speaking his mind, telling what we know to be the truth, and losing his job. He's taking one for the white man.
And, all right, what do you mean he's taking one for the white man?
Because white people think that Jews are cheap, too, but they don't have the guts to say it. So we trot the black man out to say what the white man told him to say. Now, the NAACP is...
Oh, boy, so the white man told Lee Alcorn to say that Jews are cheap or that they're into money, huh?
Look, Phil, the NAACP is basically an organization that was started by white people and is a white man organization.
You're not a supporter of the NAACP.
No, I'm not. And
well, all right.
Let me just finish. The black man... that the black people that speak from a platform of the NAACP are speaking the white man's words, and here's another brother taking one for the white man.
Now, what is truthful about what this Mr. Alcorn said?
Well, Jews are good with money. Think about it: Annenberg, Eisner, Ovitz, Katzenberg, Spielberg, Baumer, Karmazan. Mel Karmazan is one of the biggest Jews, and has one of the largest caches of money I've ever. Redstone, there's another Jew he's doing business with.
Are you an anti-Semite?
What?
And are you in an office?
I'm in one of our foyer offices right now. I'll move inside.
All right. Are you an anti-Semite?
No, sir, I'm not an anti-Semite. I speak the truth. We are talking about truth. Murdoch, Schwab, Jew after Jew after Jew. It's a long line of Jews. Now, I applaud and commend the instinct and the great fight of the Jews, but I cannot deny that they're good at money. Now, you tell me they're not good with money.
I don't know. What if I said this? What if I told you that black folks are good at dancing and making peach cobbler?
That don't bother me.
That doesn't bother you?
That don't bother me at all. For once, a white man speaking the truth. I like the truth. I believe the biblical passage that the truth makes you free. We need more honesty.
So if I told you that the only way I could win at hide-and-seek would be for you to give me a big moon-reflecting grin,
That'd be true.
That'd be the truth.
That's right.
So in other words, what you want to do is just put yourself down and...
No, I believe in speaking the truth, and I don't think that what Lee Alcorn did was nothing more, Phil, than point out something that everybody thinks, including the white man, and that is Jews are good with money. Now,
well, when you make what the point that I'm trying to make is that when you make a broad, far-reaching statement like that, when you are stereotyping, you're not taking people as individuals, okay?
I'm taking the Jewish people as a group. That's the truth. The fact is that black kids are better at hide and seek. No one has the courage to tell you that. And I believe the truth is the thing that ought to be spoken.
Now, what do you mean black kids are better at hide and seek?
Because that happens to be the facts. That's something every black child knows, and that's something every black parent knows. But nobody will talk about that. So you see, this is not something that is necessarily focused on the Jewish people of this country. It's not anything that's necessarily focused on a white man. This is something focused on all people. All people have to be truthful with each other and speak the truth. And that's why I say Lee Alcorn was wrongly dismissed by the NAACP for his comments.
Well, he said, if you're saying speak the truth... That...
Look, Phil, I've got a list here in front of me of the number one millionaires in America. And I'm looking at names like Ballmer, B-A-L-L-M-E-R. That's Jewish. I'm looking at Sumner Redstone. I'm looking at Charles Schwab. I'm looking at Pritzker. And I'm Arison. And Ergen, and all these Jewish names, Icahn, Carl Icahn, Bronfman. You trying to tell me these Jews aren't rich?
I'm trying to tell you that it is wrong to stereotype across the board and say, just like I said, if I say to you that black folks dance good and make peach cobbler real good...
That don't bother me.
That doesn't bother you.
Not at all. It's true.
It's true.
That's right.
Well, I think it's a stereotype.
No, Philly, it is a fact that black folks dance better than white folks. It's a fact we make a damn good peach cobbler. It's a fact that we deep fried chicken in peanut oil better than a white man does. It's a fact we probably got better barbecue. All that's true. It's also a fact that we invented many things like open heart surgery. It's a fact.
Okay, so now you want to start talking about all the good things that black folks do. Why don't you start laundry listing all of the great things that Jewish people do, okay?
I think they've done great things is in banking. I think they've done great things in buying businesses. I think.
So all of that stuff has to do with money, though. I mean, you are willing to go far-reaching into the experience of the African-American and say, well, he's done these things positively. But every positive thing you say about Jewish people has to do with dough. Okay? It's a stereotype, right?
And they make a damn good bagel. How about that? I mean, what do you want me to...
Well, don't be silly.
No, I'm not being silly. They make a good bagel. They lay that lox and cream cheese. What do you want me to say to you? You want me to lie to you is what you want me to do. You want me to lie, and you want me to perpetuate the lie. And you want me to continue to say, well, these things are not thought of, and these things are not said in private. Lee Alcorn said something everybody knows. Jewish people are good with money. And that for me, is the most important thing.
The truth.
The truth.
Even if it's some kind of a racist, bigoted, even if it's something that isn't the truth so much as it is.
It is not racist. It's not bigoted. You're talking to a black man who has been on the receiving end of that for a long time, Mr. Henry. It is the truth as I know it.
Well, the truth as you know it may not be the truth that the rest of the world sees, and if this guy's view is...
Well, are we all supposed to be lockstep?
No, but if his view is so out of kilter from the rest of the world, then maybe he shouldn't be involved in an organization like the NAACP. Now, let me...
Well, that's interesting, a white man giving advice on the NAACP, Phil. And
it's a front organization for my people anyway, so...
Well, you said it.
No, you said it first. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. We're talking with Pastor William Renick on the comments of an NAACP leader named Lee Alcorn, who said during a radio interview that we have to be suspicious of any kind of partnership between the Jews at that kind of level because we know that their interest primarily has to do with money and these kinds of things. He was suspended indefinitely, and he therefore resigned to form a new civil rights coalition, and he refuses to apologize for his remarks. And these remarks, by the way, were made about Senator Joseph Lieberman, who is running as the running mate of Al Gore. And just so I'm clear, If I played hide-and-seek with you and you grinned and it reflected the moon, man, it would light the whole room up.
That's right. I got a hell of a moon-reflecting grin. I got no problem with that.
So you just smile, man, and light the room up, huh?
You got it.
All right, sunshine.
Whatever.
Jeez. 1-800-449-8686 with Pastor William Renick. This is Phil Hendry on The Phil Hendry Show. Is the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor William Renick from the Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, talking about the comments of Lee Alcorn of the NAACP in Dallas that got him basically thrown out of the organization, where he said that let's not get involved with Jews at the level of vice president or president because their interest is primarily with money and these kinds of things. What is it about black people that they don't like Jews?
I never said anything that black people don't like Jews.
But you know as well as I do, there's a long history of enmity basically going one way, isn't it?
What is that supposed to mean?
That Jewish people have gone out on a limb and gone out and laid it on the line for black folks, but the return is not there. African Americans, not all, but I would say that there is a strain of anti-Semitism. What's with the hate? Why do black people...
You're making some assumptions that I think are racist. You're a racist if you said...
Oh, I'm a racist now. This guy said he doesn't dig Jews because they are into money.
You're saying that all black people hate Jews. I'll tell you that what basically was said was a truthful thing.
All right, so Jews like money. Black folks are dancing and they love peach cobbler. What about white people?
I would say that white people have got just as many proclivities for certain things.
How about how we all live in trailers?
Live in trailers, you beat your wives, you abuse diet pills.
We live in trailers, we beat our wives and abuse what?
Diet pills, amphetamines. That's the attitude that most black folks have got about white people. And most Jews, too.
So Jews see Gentiles as wife beaters and diet pill abusers.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. So what are we doing? We're going to start calling each other names?
No, we're not calling each other names, Mr. Henry. What we are doing is indulging in the truth, which is a refreshing fountain to drink from. And I will tell you that when Moses led the people out of the desert...
All right, I need to...
Now, hold on. When Moses led his people out of the desert and found them something to drink, he led them to a refreshing fountain of water, which is the truth. White people abusing diet pills, black folks making peach cobbler, or Jews saving all their money, that's all part of life. I'm all right with that.
All right, here is San Antonio on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I disagree with the pastor and where he's coming from, because that's not the view of...
You're a black man?
Yes, I am. I'm an African American.
Right,
I'm a black man.
You know that what I'm saying primarily is an honest view.
No, that's just your view. That's not... And you don't represent all African Americans in the United States of America.
Brother, you know that the Jew has always represented money to black people.
Well, I mean, the Jewish people, the stereotype, has represented money to a lot of people. Okay?
I'm talking to the brother right now. I'm not talking to you.
No, it's not you're talking about a stereotype. You're talking about a view of putting people in a category, and that's what's wrong with America.
That's
today.
Why I said
too
this.
Too often people are put into categories wrongly. Who is this?
That's why I jumped up that stereotype about black people dancing. And
that's true. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's true.
I know some black people that can't dance. It's a stereotype.
I'm talking about by and large.
It's a stereotype.
But no, by and large, you know black folk know how to move it. You know I know
a lot of white people that know how to move it, too. So it's a stereotype.
What about
let's
that
move
peach
off of like that. Let's move to the issue.
What about
the
that peach cobbler crack?
Let's move to the issue. The issue is this. The gentleman up in Dallas representing the NAACP spouted his own opinion, and that's what got him fired. And that'll get you fired anywhere in America.
Brother, you know
if you're
that
in
the
a
white
company
man,
and you go in and espout your own opinion, and it's not the company's voice.
You know the white man believes that.
That's the truth.
But you know the white man believes
that's
that.
The
you know
truth.
That you know that that all people believe the Jew is good with money. And I don't know. Well,
you know, he didn't say just that Jewish people are good with money. He said that a relationship was not a good idea.
That's what he said.
He said he was suspicious of it.
He said that.
Well, wouldn't you be suspicious of a man as good with a dollar? Are you afraid he's going to take your last dollar?
Why would I be suspicious of a man that wants to save his money and invest his money? You know, that's the problem.
What about if you
with many Americans today that we're not saving, we're spending. And
what if
not
you went into business with that man and you're afraid he'd take your last dollar? That's what I'm talking about.
Oh,
I don't fear that.
Ignorant, and I have to go back.
You know, I love the way the white man jumps in here, don't you? Brother, yeah, I got
to
wonder.
Well, I happen to be the host of the show.
Yeah, but while I'm talking to the brother here, you keep jumping in.
I'm the host of the show. I'm going to be jumping in a little bit, okay?
All right. That's fair.
All right, sir. I have to move on. I thank you very much for your call.
Now, you cut the brother off, didn't you?
Yeah, because I'm a member of the Ku Klux Klan, and...
You know, I like you, Phil, because I can see you got a sense of humor. But you don't know that deep down inside, you're a racist. You know...
That's right. Deep down inside, I'm a racist.
You are. You're all right. You're a good man. You're racist. You hate blacks, and you hate Jews.
That's exactly right.
Well, I can tell the way you treated that brother there. You wouldn't let me talk to him.
Well, let me cut you off from another caller right now. Let's go to Houston on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
As long as you see it.
Houston.
You want me to talk or you want me to call hang up?
Go ahead, dear. You talk.
Well, I was just saying, that fella, I hear him all the time when he come on your show, and I enjoy his talking.
That's right.
But he tell you the truth, it's no such thing as black or white. So
what
we have to do, let's go by nations and races. That's
well, you
what
know Jewish people, all the Jewish people want to save money.
Well,
and
you know what?
You ain't never seen a nickel.
Let the Jews save money, because the more they save, the better job I have.
What? Now, look at that. All you want to do is wipe down the floor of a Jew.
I don't have to. I'm a chauffeur.
Are you a chauffeur?
Uh-huh.
How old are you?
56.
Holy gee. You run into a freeway bridge abutment or anything?
But, honey, I have chauffeur license.
Now, wait a second. You're driving a Jewish man around. You
I drive any, the whole family.
Do you drive any brothers and sisters?
The whole family.
No, do you drive the brothers... You drive any black people around in that chauffeur?
I don't look at black people. I don't pay that no mind. I'm driving who I work for.
Oh, yeah, you working for a Jewish family?
I better know it.
They tip you?
I beg your pardon?
Do they tip?
Oh, child, you'd be surprised when you see my house.
What you doing? You what do you mean seeing your house? You ain't copping no furniture and taking it home with you, are you?
I have a beautiful place that they have furnished for me. And I've been with them over 25 years.
So you like your employers, ma'am. Is that
love them.
And do you see them while I'm working for a Jew? You go every day, do you go to your job? Do you say I'm working for Jewish people?
No. I don't have to.
Well, you turn. What is that?
That's my call on.
I never say I'm working for Jewish people. I say I'm working for people.
Well, you got to start looking at the people you working for.
Huh?
Because you don't know one day they're going to leave you high and dry.
They got me already. I'm already fixed. They got me fixed for life.
Well, yes. I tell you, you know something? I keep talking to you. I'm going to quit my job and move down to Houston with you.
Oh, come on down. I'll welcome you down here.
You want to hear some preaching down there?
Huh?
You want to hear some preaching? I tell you, I'll give you the Bible real good. I'll give you the gospel real good.
Well, honey, I have a Bible open right here on the 23rd Psalm.
You go to church now. What church you go to, sister?
I go to Lincoln Park Baptist Church.
Praise God. I'd come down to Houston. I'll lay a gospel pill on you.
I don't take pills.
Well, I don't either. I take a gospel pill every day. I take one gospel pill every day.
Well, I read my Bible every morning before I go to work, 121 Psalms.
Praise Jesus.
I read that and say my prayers because the Bible said when you pray, you're supposed to stand and pray.
Oh, yeah.
You don't kneel and pray. You stand up and pray.
Wow.
Evening and morning and night.
Yeah.
Then when you get something else, something happens, that's when you go down on your knees.
All right.
Understand?
Yeah, I got you now. All right. You keep working for them Jews, and I'll try to make me some money out of here.
Well,
okay. Thank you for your call, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Love it. You keep calling me a racist, and I don't know why. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here with Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. We're discussing Lee Alcorn, the NAACP member from Dallas, who was essentially thrown out of the organization. He was indefinitely suspended, but he resigned. After making comments about Jewish people, saying their interest is primarily in money and we should be suspicious of relationships with Jews because of that. And this was all aimed at comments about Senator Lieberman, Joseph Lieberman, Al Gore's running mate. Now, why, may I ask you, Pastor Renick, why'd you just call me a racist?
Because you know, Phil, as well as I do, that you have got me on your program. And you are going to cut me off. And you are gonna...
Will you turn that car alarm off?
Eddie, go ahead and get my car alarm, will you? You are going to cut me off and not let me go into another hour with you. So you want to limit the black man.
I've had you on for 35 minutes.
But you're not going to put me on next hour, are you?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm doing something else.
So you're a racist because you won't let me talk for 2 straight hours. And the black man is always being told to shut up. Always being told that he ain't got enough time to talk. Always being told, get off the soapbox, boy, and let a white man get up there and start reading the riot act. I'm getting sick of it. And I demand that you let me talk for the next hour. I demand you let me host your show.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Well, I demand it.
Well, you can demand all you want. It's not going to happen. You're not going to talk for another hour. We can take phone calls. We can discuss this.
You're a racist.
I'm a racist because I won't let you host my show.
Unless you resign and let me take over your show, you racist.
Why?
Because of all of the sins and crimes committed against the black man, the white man's got to start to pay for it, starting with your job.
Well, it's not going to happen, Reverend. We can take another phone call.
I'll talk to people.
But it's not going to happen. I will not quit my job. Santa Rosa on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
19 years old. Not only am I white, I'm also Jewish. And
but you think Mr. Henry's a racist?
No, I do not. I do not think Mr. Henry is a racist. I think that you not only are ignorant, but you should not be preaching this type of foolishness to your congregation.
I'm not preaching on foolishness. I'm saying that the black man should be allowed to speak truth the way the white man speak truth.
You know what? If he tells me to get off the air, why is he being racist against Jewish people because he's telling me to get off the air?
I bet
you're black.
You're Jewish, right?
Yes.
You're 19. You must be a millionaire by now.
I must be a millionaire.
Yeah, how much
I'm
money?
Working right now. I'm trying to make a living just like everyone else. I make $8 an hour.
I bet you're saving your money. $8, that's a hot one.
That's a hot one? The kid, what do you do, sir? What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm a student, but I deliver medicine for a pharmacy.
I bet you got your money socked away. You know them deep pockets and short arms, right?
No, not really.
All right.
Not really.
All right.
You know what the thing is that just bothers me is that blacks and Jews are very similar because the Jewish people have been oppressed for thousands of years. They have been enslaved longer, way longer than your people ever were. They've been taken from their homes just the same. And somehow, you know, we got these opportunities that you guys never got. And I don't
Yeah,
understand.
And you know why? Because you're a white man.
Because I'm white?
Yeah, because you can get all in a business and sit down and talk all that slick talk. Putting on a three-piece suit and sitting on the beach and talking to all them Hollywood movie stars. A black man sit on a beach, they want to pick him up with an ash can collector. They'll throw me in a garbage can till they realize I ain't a hefty bag. I'm a man.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
I just wanted to voice my opinion.
All right, well, I think it's a very... I don't know what your problem is, Pastor, but you do sound extremely angry. You sound very much like this is hurting you.
Am I right or am I wrong, kid? You're Jewish, right?
Yeah.
You got money?
No.
Come on.
My family has money.
Yeah,
yeah, my family
it is.
Has money.
There it is.
But you know what?
I knew somewhere there had to be a dollar in your background.
And do you think that all my Jewish friends are rich? Do you think everyone is well off? And do you think that every black person is poor? Give me a break.
Well, let me put it in the terms of your people.
What?
Let me put it in the terms of your people. I make a nice dollar. Huh? Is that the way the Jews say it? I make a nice dollar.
Boy, you are a racist, anti-Semitic.
Wow. You are.
Oh, come on. I'm screwing around. But
hey,
I bet they make
Phil,
a nice dollar.
Phil, I can't believe that he's calling you a racist because he is way more racist than any of
the
other
Mr. Henry's going to take me off the air.
Anyone.
Mr. Henry's going to take me off the air and not give me another hour. I want another hour on his show.
You're not getting another hour. I make a nice dollar. Hey, how about this one?
Man, I sure want some corn pone and black eyed peas.
That's good. I like that.
You like that?
Yeah, I do.
You know
that's
what?
Exactly how my people talk.
So
why
we can sit.
It?
Oh, man.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, I've never called into any radio show before, but I just couldn't understand how unbelievably ridiculous.
I bet you got the first dollar you ever made.
What's that?
Never mind.
Say it.
No, I don't want to say it.
Say it. I heard what you said. Say it.
I just said I bet you're.
What did you say?
I said I bet you got the first dollar you ever made.
But I don't understand what you mean by that.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
And you're not staying on.
You're a racist.
Yeah, I know. I'm a racist because I'm not giving you another hour. Here is Mayo, Florida on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
How are y'all doing today?
Go ahead, sir.
The pastor there, if he is a pastor.
I'm a pastor, Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California.
Okay, I'm impressed.
And I witnessed the Word of God.
Okay, I don't know how you got your license. It might have been mail order. I'm not sure. But now...
Well, now, brother, I didn't say anything about you.
You don't know the Bible, I don't think, as well as you do, because your emphasis is more on the races and the cultures of people instead of what you need to be talking about.
Now, you a white man calling me from Florida. You and I both know what you represent.
No, you do not.
You're down there in gator bait country.
That's... Well,
ain't
I'm actually...
that right?
I'm actually a Seminole.
You're an Indian?
No. But I am a Florida State Seminole.
Well, isn't that funny?
Okay, well, anyway.
I got it. What are we talking about here? We're just talking about these Jews got the first dollar they ever put their hands on. What's wrong with that?
That's right.
All them white people drinking all that codeine and stealing cars and beating their wives.
Going right along with all the black folks that eat peach cobbler and tap dance.
Right, and light up the sky with a smile. What's wrong with that?
I'd like to say something if you will just stop and give me a break.
But what have I said that isn't true? Just what I said right there about white folks.
Well, the first thing you said that I heard on the radio driving down this lonely road is that Mr. Phil there was a racist. And
right.
most of the people that I have met of your culture are racist themselves.
There we go. Now the sheet's coming on.
No.
Here comes the hood.
No.
Next thing will be the hood. Then we won't be able to see your face.
I don't believe.
Well, that car phone.
Turn the car alarm off.
I do not believe in any kind of clubs like the KKK or the NAACP.
All right, okay, this phone call's not going anywhere. Did you have a point you wanted to make, sir? We got to move along, okay?
The only thing I wanted to say was he is wrong.
You're racist.
Yeah, we got that. Go ahead. He's wrong about...
Jesus.
All right, see you later. 1-800-449-8686. I'm tempted to throw you off the air.
You would throw me off the air? You're a racist if you don't give me...
You know what? You're gone.
No, you better give me more... You can't throw me off...
There, I just did it.
You're a stinking racist because you...
Tired of the guy. I'm sick of listening to him. 1-800-449-866. I just think there comes a time when you got to draw the line, okay? You can't be talking to people. You can't be saying...
I demand another hour!
Saying that they're racist because they won't give you another hour of their airtime. He's nuts. He's a kook. He's a whack job. But there is that very strong, very, very strong element of anti-Semitism everywhere. White folks, black folks. One of the reasons is that they, black people, I guess it's noticed more because, well, they're black, and I guess they're not supposed to hate anybody.
You're a racist, and everything.
Okay, I got to go, because I want to go kill me a pastor. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. One 800 449 8686. Phil Hendry Show. Did you pick some stuff out here for me, Alex? This is another catalog, the Members Marketplace AAA. They've got a new logo, but our quality products and friendly service remain the same. All right, I'm a AAA member, But I don't get that Westways magazine or any of that stuff. I don't know what. I guess I'm not the biggest, one of the bigger members. But they do send this members marketplace bags and crud that you can buy, if you're a member. Now, here's one that I saw that smacks of panic to me. This, if you have this in your car, you got to be panicking. Don't be without this indispensable rescue hammer. Don't be without it, it says. Don't be without this rescue hammer. This unique multifunctional hammer can literally mean the difference between life and death when trapped inside a wrecked vehicle. The 4-in-1 SOS emergency hammer fits comfortably in one hand to deliver a blow strong enough to shatter a windshield or a window for a quick escape or rescue. But that's not all. You know what else it has? It has a device that helps you cut the seatbelt away. It also has a glow-in-the-dark locator, a glow-in-the-dark on-off switch. It's got an emergency flashlight attached to it. And, as I mentioned, it can shatter windshields with one blow. A holder keeps the hammer within reach at all time. I just, personally, I'm not complaining, but if I got into a guy's car and he had one of those bolted to the door, I'd just say, let's talk about what's wrong with your life. Did you ever used to get into cars when you were a kid, like your friend had a hot car and he had a fire extinguisher mounted in the car? Like guys that just got done cherrying their car out or something, and the creme de la creme, the cherry on top of the whipped cream, they put a fire extinguisher on the door in case they get into a high-speed crash and need to put some flames out under the hood or whatever, or if you're trapped and you're burning alive. But a guy with a seatbelt cutter. First, you got to get a seatbelt, then you got to get something that'll cut it off of you. According to Craig Taylor, he had one in his bug, same color as the car, and it saved your engine, the fire extinguisher. Bull crap. Would your engine catch? Why'd your engine catch on fire on Ventura Boulevard? The guy's Volkswagen. The gas line was so old on his Volkswagen engine that the gas started dripping. A fire erupted in the engine compartment and that fire extinguisher. Here's a little tip for you. Take the car in for regular servicing and have all the freaking hoses replaced. There you go. Now, that's good. Now, see, there's a reason why to have one. Some guys have them because they start racing like street racing and they have to put fires out that start. When I was in high school, I have to say this, and I don't mean, I don't want to influence any kids negatively, but I was inside of a few cars that were street racing. I never saw a fire erupt. But, I could be wrong. That thing that Craig just mentioned about the fuel line. But if you get the hoses replaced, then a fuel line doesn't leak. You don't need no fire extinguisher, okay? But maybe you need a fire extinguisher. You don't need no seatbelt cutter. Look at that. And the picture of the guy here is worth millions. The guy's got this look on his face like, oh, no. And he's banging away and he's smashed his window out. Now, why would you want to get out of if you're trapped inside your car, during a fire or something, you smash and get out. Like, what if you're underwater, though? If you crack that window, doesn't the water come rushing in and you're drowned? Okay. So that's one that you're all going to want to get there. That's your SOS emergency hammer 4-in-1. But the seatbelt cutter alone. One time I got into my car, my seatbelt, I could not move forward, and like it trapped me, and it was one of those kind of hydraulic belts. I thought I was going to choke to death, but I would have used it then. I would have been reaching around for the seatbelt cutter because my wind was cut off. I was like, oh, God, the belt's across my neck. So I'm reaching down for this thing, trying to get my seatbelt cutter to cut my... What if you're picking your date up or something, or father comes out to meet you at the car, you're at a drive-thru, for instance. Hi, welcome to McDonald's. May I help you?
Oh, help me, God. Please, help.
And you're hacking away at the seatbelt because you're paranoid, because you're in traffic, because it's been a bad day, because you see a lot of smog. Maybe there's a lot of smoke or something. Suddenly, like Michael Douglas and Falling Down, you decide you want out. Your seatbelt cutter, you're hacking away at the seatbelt. You're smashing a window out. Ah, screw it. All right, so there's the seatbelt cutter. You got to have one of those. What else we got here? I like the way your magazine came to be, by the way, AAA. It was upside down. Part of it's upside down. Was there anything else in here, Alex, that you found? Okay, this is from our membership catalog. Here's one that you'll really enjoy. Stay alert. Doze Alert helps protect you from falling asleep at the wheel with a beeping alarm that sounds if your head drops forward as you're driving. Compact size, fits comfortably over your ear, uses a one-button cell battery. This thing sits over your ear. So if you see a guy like 2 o'clock in the morning, you're getting out of the Shell station to get coffee, and some guy's bopping in for an extra large, and he's got that thing over his ear, you know he's driving a long way? That sounds like a pretty sensible thing to have, actually. So you sit that over your ear. You ever woken up and your car is halfway across the center divider? I have. Have you ever awakened and your car is already in a river? One time I was driving home, and it was so foggy, I turned the wrong side of a street sign or something. I went nose first into a ditch. This was in Florida, where they got a lot of ditches. And I crawled out of the car, and this is how drunk I was. I was very young. I was like 21 or 22. I was so drunk, I tried pushing my car out of the ditch, and it was in nose first. Probably standing at about, I'd say, an 80-degree, what is it, 90-degree angle. 90-degree, I just straight up, I'm trying to push it out. And the cops had to come and, you know, bail me out. And you want to know something? That cop never breathalyzed me? I don't know. I'm just stupid. Lucky stupid, I guess. Okay, here is one that we all need, and this is called Smooth Out Facial Wrinkles with the Magnetic Beauty Mask. This dude looks like Jason, man, and you go to bed wearing this thing. Just 30 minutes a day tones muscles, relieves tension, and relaxes wrinkles with nature's magnetic power. 19 strategically positioned magnets in this comfortable, reusable facial mask focus on pressure points to also help relieve headaches, sinus problems, and irritated eyes. This is the new Magnetic Beauty Mask. Smooths out facial wrinkles. There ain't no such thing. But you go to bed wearing this thing, you wake up in the middle of the night with that magnetic mask thing, and also with those gloves that softens your hands, you're going to look like, see, you really look good. You're going to look like Frankenstein's freaking daughter with the facial mask. Suppress your urge to splurge. An attractive magnetic earring provides gentle pressure at acupressure points on your earlobes, known to help reduce food cravings. You can get earrings that squeeze your earlobes so tight you're not hungry. The one that I liked was from yesterday where you put the, what is that crap? It's gum that you chew, so it makes everything you taste, it tastes like crap. So that even if you go and get that 7-layer chocolate cake, it's going to taste like dog dung or something. And why, you got the gum in your mouth, why would you even chance eating the cake? I know it's going to taste like crap. Why are you eating it? I don't know, it looked delicious. And that is from our AAA catalog on various things that you can have while driving and while, you know, traveling across the country. The other one here that I wanted to mention is protect wildlife and your car. No one wants to hit an animal, and hitting a large one can be downright dangerous. These tiny animal warning signals mount right on the front of your car. So you're going to drive around with these two air horns on the front of your car. If an animal is in front of you, just hit this thing and it scares them off. This is for people that, like, live where? In the Upper Peninsula of Michigan? If you live in Marquette, Michigan, you need that. Okay, well, good stuff, man. How much of this crap does Mom want for Christmas? You circle everything for her? Oh, she wants the ear thing, too? Great. All right. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. We've raised $153,000 for our my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And we're about to embark on our year 2000 CD from the Phil Henry Show. So we'll keep you updated on that. If you'd like to check out the CD and purchase it, philhenryshow.com. We've got a link to my friend's place, and they'll tell you more.